Thanks to your friendly neighbourhood record store, Southbound Records.
From the crate, that's supposed to say at the beginning until I ruined it. I was just so caught up in the vibe of singing that song.
I bet you there's probably nobody under the age of 45 who knew what you were singing.
I love my country, I love my rock and roll.
Anyway,
I've got the album on at home.
Do you?
Yeah.
Donnie and Marie.
Donnie and Marie. Get the it? Donnie and Marie Show.
That's not what we have here today. We've got some excellent
stuff. Hi, Troy. Good morning, Troy. Pleasantries Exchange. Good morning.
Hello. We actually said all of that off air. Not
the listeners don't know that,
no,
man.
Oh,
you know,
hello.
Don't
how
keep
are
them
you?
In the dark. Good day.
Now, the stuff today is three very, very heavy collections.
Beautiful LPs right there, ladies and gentlemen. Let me say, I can assure you that what you've got there are records. Mm-mm.
Now, the first one, should we do this one first? This one is the one that's excited me a great deal. Now, in the early
1960s. Interesting choice of words, but yep.
Okay. In the early 1960s in Toronto, a lady called Jackie Shane became one of the hottest R&B and soul singers in the live Toronto scene. She put out six singles. And then
Canada always, of course, strong with R&B.
That's right. Well, she's actually from Nashville. She moved to Canada. Jackie Shane, a real groundbreaker in more ways than one. Jackie Shane, look at her. Doesn't she look amazing?
She's got some sassitude on there. She's let me paint that picture for you, ladies and gentlemen. She is in repose with I think it's an ashtray. Actually, I thought it was a drink, but I think maybe it's a pudding. Some sort of chalice there on a very luxurious sort of chaise lounge. She is decked out in the fashion of the day, which is definitely rocking.
Teal.
A cigarette. She's just started. Her legs are up on the couch, the chaise lounge, and she is ready to take. She will now accept visitors, basically, and. There's a lot of attitude in that face. Tell us a wee bit more about Jackie Shane.
Jackie Shane was, when she first started appearing on the Toronto scene, she would wear a Little Richard type suit and have her hair in a bouffant. So people were going, oh, we'll go and see Jackie Shane, the lesbian singer. Oh, she's a lesbian.
Yeah.
Jackie Shane was not a lesbian. Jackie Shane was a woman who... She was a woman who had been born a man a number of years before, but I can understand why people got confused with the songs she sang. She never flipped the gender. She always sang, you know, most songs then were written from the perspective of a man. She sang them from the perspective of a man, even though she wasn't one. She had a local hit with a cover of a William Bell tune, which is the
so
title.
So she was transgender or
yes.
transvestite? Or
No. She was not a drag show. She wasn't like a transvestite or anything.
Yep, okay.
She even today, she describes herself, doesn't use anything except say she's a woman, but she's gay.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And any other way, she had a hit
what,
with...
So what year are we talking? This is...
1963.
Oh, you're not... I mean... Starting to, you know.
Back then, it was even still a crime to do what was then called cross-dressing.
Right.
If you were a man, you could not go out in woman's clothes. That was a crime in most states and in Canada.
Yeah.
Even so, she was billed as the fabulous Jackie Shane all the time, for good reason. And she, like I said, she released six singles. A few years later, a 1963 live recording was released in 1967, a smash, Jackie Shane Live. Tremendous stuff. By 1971, for some reason, she not only retired but utterly disappeared off the face of the planet. No one knew what had happened to the fabulous Jackie
hiatus.
Shane.
Taking a hiatus.
Now, that's 1971. I can't remember how long ago that is. Is that 46 years ago?
Yep.
Right, well, the Numero Group record label were desperate to reissue some of the stuff. When you hear it, you'll know why they were desperate. It's not just like, oh, this is a weird story. She's tremendous. So they eventually tracked down a phone number for her. And one of the guys from Numero Group, Mr. McGowan spent a few years on the telephone to her. We'd have huge, long conversations on the telephone over 3 years, right? And eventually she said, okay, well, you can come to my house in Nashville, where she'd moved back to, and bring the contract over. He turned up at her house, knocked on the door, and got from behind the door, I'm not ready.
Oh, right. I see.
Wouldn't come to the door.
Even with all that build-up, nope. 3 years of build-up.
Wouldn't see him, so he, like, you know, didn't want to be defeated. He left the contract on the front porch, and eventually it arrived in the post at Numero Group, signed.
So, and since then, has she been sighted?
Well,
because it makes me think of Catfish, the TV show.
Since then, she's done her first ever interviews. The first one was with Out magazine, the LGBT magazine. But since then, she's done interviews with the New York Times, LA Times. Not too many, but a few. But the best interview, I think you'll find, is within here. There is 30 hours of interview material, which has been put into this book, which basically tells the story of her career. And she is great.
What a discovery. Let's have a listen.
Yeah. Do you want to play that one that I put in the machine over there, number 11? Play a bit of that one.
Si, senor. On fire. That's awesome.
Take that, James Brown.
I'll save one of those for Guy Fawkes. That's awesome.
Now, this is like the more hard R&B style. If you want to fade this one down, we can hit the one that you've got there called Any Other Way. Or what's this one called?
Oh, this is Stand Up Straight and Tall, sorry.
Okay, right.
Stand up straight and stand up tall. Good advice. Great voice.
Oh, yeah.
That's so cool. A little bit of Tina Turner in there.
So what did I say?
Isn't that great that they reawakened the world to this?
Yeah, well, it's...
It would have been tragic if that had just been lost in the ether.
I think that she was still known amongst... the live album I'd heard before. It had been re-released a couple of times. But she was mainly known amongst sort of like either soul aficionados or the underground gay scene in Toronto. There's, in fact, a two-story portrait of her on a building now.
Wow, cool.
That she was... given a photo of. She had no idea that people still remembered her. You know what she read the photo? Framed it. didn't think, oh, I'll go to Toronto, have a look. She framed the photo.
So in the timeline of music,
yeah,
where does this stuff sit? Like, I think what was around. You're much better at accurate dates than
63.
I am.
63. Okay, yeah. We're thinking of 63. We're thinking of times like, let me see, other lady singers at the time, be the Chiffons, He's So Fine, for example. We're still talking about a fairly innocent 50s style of thing.
This has got some raunch.
It's totally raunch.
What do you think, Johnny? Do you know much about raunch? Do you reckon it's got some raunch?
It certainly does.
Yeah.
And
there we go. Oh, shucks, she says at the end of this one.
She says it twice. Shucks.
Right, should we play the other one too?
Do you want to have a look? Okay, yeah, the other one is the other one was the one that was a hit, actually charted number 2 in Toronto.
See, that's a good use of a saxophone. Those big. Here you come again. Oh, a little different this one.
Yeah. And you say that you're my friend. But I don't know why you're here. She wants to know how I feel.
friends. Any other way. Oh, yeah, nice.
Yeah.
That is a bold song back in the day. I didn't even know that gay was in the vernacular then. That's that long
it
ago.
It was completely underground, the terminology. Now, when William Bell at Stax wrote that song, his line was, "Tell her I'm okay." So just to sneak that in like that was...
represent.
Yeah.
Someone just sent text here saying, surely Jackie Shane should be referred to as he and him if he identifies as a man. But
he identifies as a woman.
She identifies as a woman, just to be clear.
Right. She. Yeah.
So, okay, there we are. You've got this song. We've got this on good quality vinyl. Revived, saved.
Amazing. Now, what you have is you have here all of her studio recordings. You also have...
How many songs is that?
28, I think.
28?
Yeah, and that's with the live album and stuff. It's fantastic.
How many of those are in store?
Not so many. You're going to have to be quick
minute,
on that.
Too. I can imagine there'll be less than we want. So, yeah, I might have to...
It's good, isn't it? Yeah. It's really, really good. Should we stick with the same label for this one, do you think? Or
sure.
Do you,
well, we may as well, just because that's one's the next one on the pile and it's really cool and it looks like a velvet, a black light velvet painting.
Right, now, okay, so we're going from
which
like
I'm a big fan of, by the way, ever since I got one at the Easter show.
Is it black light poster? Is that what this thing is?
I'll chuck it under a UV and let the party begin. Just sit around smoking noobs in your back of your van or something like that, you know?
Boy, have we suddenly become... we're sitting in the Mystery Machine, 1974. Yeah. this is the new Wayfaring Strain. There's a Numero group do a line called Fairing Strangers, right?
Sorry, Fairing Strangers?
Well, the oomph was because they have Wayfaring, Seafaring. Remember we had that Yacht Rock one?
Yep.
This one is Warfaring. Warfaring Strangers.
Right.
Acid Nightmares. Now...
Acid Nightmares? We were just talking about those, John, remember?
Well, this one is... it doesn't really say so much on here, but basically what you have is the bummer end of the heavy psych movement. Now,
Jesus.
I had to write down the song titles.
Put that on the let's fast track that then.
Okay, let me tell you. Here's some of the titles.
Oh.
We've got Gravedigger by Mass Temper. We've got Brass Alley doing Pink Pills. We've got Speed Freak by The Ritual. We've got... Evaporated Brain by Sardonicus. We've got Acid Nightmare from Zarhanger. Here's my favourite title. There's a band called Acid. It's called the song is called Acid.
The band's called Acid. There's a boat being flying through the sky there.
I don't think so. What have you been doing this morning? Now, this is the creeping existential dread. I mean, and this is all like severely underground stuff. You're serious? You actually think there's a boat flying through the air, don't you?
No, it's a crane carrying something. Unless some people are keeping boats on tops of buildings, I don't know if it's. Sorry, back to the bummer end of psychedelia.
Yeah. So this bummer stuff was like released.
Hey, bummer's in the eye of the beholder, though, Troy.
Well, check out what's happening on this cover. Look at that.
Oh, yeah, the old typical girl dancing on a pile of powder. The massive gorilla fighting the massive snake. The guy caught in the prison that's not a real prison.
Think of why that's Charlie Manson.
Melting faces. An atmosphere full of pills over a city made of needles. What else? That's only on the back.
You forgot to say about the guy vomiting.
Standard. I mean, that's to be expected in a situation like that, isn't
okay,
it?
Okay, yeah, the bummer.
So, but then on the front, you've got the classic guy riding a big ape with the big ape hangers on the on a sort of melting chopper motorbike. Who looks like the Beelzebub himself in the background, just having the time of his life. Melting mushrooms, a skull with a wig on, and. I am weary about this album.
Yeah.
It's a double album too, isn't it?
It's a real Johnny sort of album, though.
I'm really curious how, is it Numero?
Yeah, Numero Group.
Numero Group has just released two albums which seem to be worlds apart.
Yeah, well, they're basically committed to making available stuff they believe should be heard by more people.
You don't want that to fall into the hands of, like, toddlers or anything, though.
Probably not.
I couldn't have that around the house.
No, but Johnny does have it around his house. In fact, all of his record collection looks like that. Oh, here's another bummer.
Are you a big fan of the bummer end of psychedelia, Johnny?
I'm not too A shiver, I enjoy it.
You're an adventurer, aren't you? You're an explorer. You like to go into places sort of...
I'll dip my toe in that dark pool.
Where ears have not set before, eh? Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, that's just one step away from joining a cult.
Yeah, mate. And then before you know it, you'll just blow your foo-foo valve and you'll be listening to whale songs the rest of your life and butterfly music.
All right, so...
You won't be able to delight in the pleasures of such things as Ministry of Motorhead.
Well, there you go.
Stooges. All right, so let's go. Let's have a listen to this. Big deep breath. Deep breath.
This is the cross blood experiment.
Orange Sunshine. This is Johnny Ayres.
Yeah.
I kind of think I'm at a secondary school at a play that they've written.
Yeah.
Or a show, their own stage show, Smoke for Rockwest. Oh, yeah, shit. Somebody call that girl's parents quickly.
Yeah, it's Orange Sunshine, the, like the...
Yeah, that's the massive, big, super wonder
name?
Acid that they made, the basically the godfather of all acid when it went commercial, I believe. Here we go. That's the intro. Here we go. Let's hit it.
Sunshine reaches, caresses your mind. Sitting
actually quite puff and stuffish, that.
See, I picked the one that was...
Is that too puff and stuffish?
I think it is. I've picked the one which is actually the brightest and most uplifting and positive on this double album.
I think, like I say, I think Bummer is in the eye of the ear of the beholder.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's definitely a ride, isn't it?
The other thing to...
Hold on.
Out.
You know what? I'd like to sit in on a couple of those band practices.
See, that's the other thing I wanted to say.
Yeah, look at John's doing so into it, eh? You love it.
I've had someone had recommended this record to me, so I am
Ruben?
Curious
is
to check
Ruben?
It out. I know it's actually Samuel Harmony.
I see. Yeah.
Who does the Saturday morning show, Good Times Radio?
All right.
Thought you would like this. That's all right. Now, what I wanted to say is that you know, it's tempting to think that these were all like bleary-eyed, you know, blood. Dripping, crazed, you know, drugged out lunatics making this music. Well, the chances are these were probably just regular teenagers who were like, well, I don't know. I haven't read the book. I was too frightened to read the book with this. I'm like,
I appreciate your honesty, Troy, with that.
I didn't want to read the book. I just listened to the record and went, okay, sounds like a bummer to me. But it's totally interesting.
Great. That's a great LP to have in the LP collection. Look at it.
Yeah, if you were Johnny.
Just if you want to, if you
no, perhaps, it looks amazing.
Perhaps if you've got like a wine glass one, you know, like a frosted wine glass on the cover of one, and maybe some swirls on another, and you want to zhush it up a wee bit.
I can definitely zhush up my one of my record crates with this one at the front.
Yep. Put it at the front, eh? Image Conscious Records. All right, so what else is in the crate, Troy? What else is in the crate today?
Now,
one more in the crate.
We're moving to another archival record label, and this one here is the Light in the Attic label, which...
The what labels are it?
Light in the Attic.
Light in the Attic.
Light in the Attic are a label from Seattle who have... they were the ones who re-released the Rodriguez albums, for example. Also this week, or is it next week, I think, they're putting out three Lee Hazelwood records, which haven't been available for a while. Anyway, this one here is the first in a new series they're doing called the Japan Archival Series. Even a Tree Can Shed Tears, Japanese Folk and Rock, 1969 to 73. What do you think of that?
Oh, good. Do trees laugh?
They can shed tears, apparently. So,
what makes them so sad?
Well, I don't know.
Humanity makes them sad, really, doesn't it? No, sorry, the bummer end of Japanese folk rock now.
This isn't the bummer end. There's a, in the 60s in Japan, in a couple of areas.
Beautiful record, by the way.
It doesn't it look great? It looks like a Japanese book or something. However, what you have here is at this point in the 60s, there was two sort of student-oriented areas, one around Shibuya and one nearer to Osaka, where basically sort of West Coast US folk rock had become popular in the coffee houses, and so the Japanese decided to put their own do their own version of it, where it was sung with Japanese cadence and in Japanese language and everything. Now
I know what you're saying. You're sort of saying that there was something in the air in the urban corners of the late 60s, aren't you, in Japan?
Who would
student
have thought?
Student protests and a rising youth culture giving way to a creative community that thrived on subverting traditions of the post-war years. Okay,
yeah, that's kind of what I was trying
and
to say.
And folk songs then, of course, yeah, as you know, became political, and Beatlemania inspired copycat groups made way for a personal kind of new music where authenticity mattered more than replicating the sounds of their idols. I think that's what we're saying.
You should be doing this yourself. In fact, you should be writing liner notes for records.
Liner notes, it's a skill. It's like doing blurbs for a real estate. This sunny fixer-upper. But you know, if you can do a good one.
Ooh. Cozy. Sachiko Kananobu is the singer we're going to hear on this. Now, she put out one record in 1972 called Missouri. And she was another disappearing act. As her record came out, she disappeared, although we know where she went. She had gone off to New York to, like, not do anything until wait for this, till Philip K. Dick decided, this is true, in 1979, you know, your record was great, you should be recording. And she goes, yes, I think I'll start a punk rock group.
Good call.
And that's what she did, a punk rock group called Culture
Everyone
Shock.
Everyone should.
Yeah.
We're past the time where anyone's got an excuse not to.
That's right.
Just even if you just do it for a day and you just don't like it, you should give it a crack.
And also, if Philip K. Dick was like saying, I'll finance your stuff, I mean, even if he didn't say that, if Philip K. Dick said, I think you should be singing, you'd probably go,
I'm just going to sing the hell out of it then.
We're going to do it. Right. Yeah. This is pre that. This is from the album Missouri, 1972. This one here is called Anata Kara Toko E, or Far Away From You. And you might be able to hear why she was considered.
What year was this again?
72. So keen on this one.
No, I'm curious. Does Light in the Attic have someone on the ground over there curating these? How do they come by the stuff?
Well, this is like you say, this is another one of Almost Lost. Hey, it was a treasure almost lost. Was that what you said?
Yeah.
Music fans, eh? Once that bug gets in your ear,
you
go,
hearing.
Oh, that song, that thing, that time I remember, that thing with, where is it? Where can I find that? And then look what happens. Then, boom, that sort of thing.
This, to me, is one of the greatest things about this. I've heard on the TV, it's the vinyl renaissance about vinyl coming back.
Oh, I've got a couple of vinyl records still at home.
Oh, vinyls.
Oh, I must get them out.
What has been most exciting to me is that this is the kind of thing which is now being put out, and a lot of care and attention has gone into it. And,
beautiful, beautiful packaging.
This one has a 20-page book. Will you have known anybody who plays on this record? Well, the production on this one we're hearing is one of the dudes who started Yellow Magic Orchestra.
Cool.
There's a couple of other names that went on to not become complete world beaters in the Western.
But of
sense,
note, of note.
Of note, yeah. And you would have heard their names. But this one here, she was considered the Japanese Joni Mitchell.
Now, all these records are available in the store now.
Yes. You know what? We made sure we put them on the shelf last night, because after last week, we had a very upset Angus Thunder coming in.
Oh, double thunder. Thunder to the power of thunder.
Yeah, before I even managed to get back to the shop, he was in there looking for the Iggy Raw Power red vinyl. And he was very mad that it wasn't on the shelf. And that was my fault.
He's keen though. Can't you? How can you criticise that. You can't. That's, he did the right thing.
He did.
Thanks for coming in, Troy.
Thanks so much.
I would like to purchase that Jackie Shane LP off you right there. Are they available on CD, any of those ones?
We've got one copy on CD of Jackie Shane in a nice sort of heavier
plastic.
No, box, like a, like a box. But this,
I do like the idea of that.
You need this one here, don't you?
That's the one I need, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, thank you very much.
From the crate, thanks to Southbound Records, 132 Simon Street, next to T. White Spikes.